Let's talk about passing the shift and receiving a shift. So if you're working as a lead or a manager, you're working a shift. Ultimately, you're a leader on a shift. And you arrive, of course, on that shift, and your previous leader, your previous manager, could be from the night before, is ultimately passing the shift to you. And you're the one who passes the shift to the next lead or manager. This is just a basic concept in our world in the restaurant business. Here's the thing. I wanted to go over some basic etiquette. In fact, five different things that are so basic and so simple that sometimes we really complicate, but those are basic etiquette in place that we need to make sure we have when it comes to passing or receiving a shift. And the reason we're going over this, because sometimes I hear these things among our people, that a manager or a lead grumbles behind someone else's back. Well, John always leaves a shift like this, or you're not done the closing this, and then all this stuff, you know, grumbling over this without having the conversations with the right person to correct that behavior so we can move forward. And I wanted to go over these five etiquettes. And the first, it always starts with you and yourself. And that is, who do you want to be as a leader? So first, before we always talk about receiving a shift, we want to talk about you being the one who passes a shift, you being that person. So what is going to be your reputation in the company? Is it that they're like, you know what, Susan always, oh man, am I working? Am I the manager after Susan? Oh, Susan's working in the morning. Okay, fantastic. Susan always, you know, over preps, their line is always restocked before she passes me the shift. Is that your reputation in the company? That is the question. So be that which you demand of others. You demand others some things. You're aware of your demand. You hear about it in your mind. Be that first. You can never control other people, but you can sure control yourself and your reputation. And now you always may say, you know what, I always pass a shift this, and I always clean everything spotless clean, but so-and-so doesn't do it. And so then you feel that because the other person does or doesn't do something, it gives you, it authorizes you to lower your standard and lower what you do, and your reputation, because you're pointing at someone else. And here's the thing. So it's the same thing as children do that. You know, for example, I tell Mark, my son, hey, Mark, no more candy. And he says, well, you know what? Well, Hannah's having candy, so why shouldn't I? Kids do that all the time, right? Well, you know, John always passes the shift this way, so should I too. Here's the thing. Act like a leader. You're not a child anymore, so that is no longer accepted. And this is a workplace. It's not at home, and there's no candy involved. You are the leader. You set the tone for your reputation. Here's the thing. John may or may not be in the company 2 weeks from now. Who are you? Are you trying to move up in the company? Are you hoping to, you know, run your own store one day? Who are you? You own your reputation. Be a respectful person. Be honorable, independent from someone else. They may or may not be anything. It doesn't matter. You lead your own destiny and your own behavior and your own attitude. You are in charge of you. Why would you lower your standard because of someone else? That is poor leadership. So again, the first part is, what is going to be your reputation as a leader, the one that passes the shift? That's going to be your reputation. So what is going to be your reputation? What is your current reputation? Or do you even have one? You know what? When I receive the shift after you, sometimes things are, the line is restocked and everything is done. And sometimes it is this, it is that. So you're kind of a, you know, mediocre level. It's hit and miss. I can't trust. I can't rely on you because you're not always this or that. Is that your reputation? That's a question to ask yourself and ponder and reflect. And moving forward, set the tone and of your reputation. The second basic etiquette I have for you is this. Leadership involves communication. There is no leadership without communication. You know, you can't be a general in a war zone without you using your words at all. Not giving direction, not communicating the plan, not communicating the strategy. Whatever was done or it's going to be done, right? You know, you're if you're not using your words, you're not really leading. So leadership requires words. So if you have something to communicate about the shift, you must verbally communicate it. When there's time to pass the shift, you're going to look back at how the shift went, and you're going to communicate it to the next leader and what the plan is. You know, hey, so-and-so worked this morning. We got these stuff done. These was not done. This was this done. and we were not able to get that done, sadly. However, this is whatever. You got to communicate. Are you just the one that when the next manager comes in, you just walk off and you don't even talk about it? Well, you hope, hopefully they won't realize that I didn't make dough. They're going to find out what you did or you did not do. Well, hopefully they don't find out that I didn't wash the dishes again. They got really busy. And stand behind, take 5 minutes and verbally communicate about whatever it is that was done or what was not done. Third point here is do unto others as you want to be treated. Very basic. It's not easy. When it comes to cleanliness, when it comes to prep, when it comes to informing the next manager, hey, John called out. John works this evening with you. John called out that he can't come to the shift. I already put it in the logbook. So you already documented in the logbook. You verbally communicated to this manager and say, hey, I also looked and so-and-so said that they could stay longer from the morning shift to cover for John's shift. You are being the one who's communicating those things. I wanted to remind you, there is a fundraiser this evening and we made one extra batch of dough because of it. So I'm communicating. That's what I would want. The person who's passing me the shift would communicate all those stuff to me. So be that which you expect of others. Another issue to always work on is that sometimes I see this, our leaders, our leads, our managers, they do the work. They make the dough. They shred 5 buckets of cheese. They deep clean inside the trash cans that get very gross. You know, they deep clean all of that. The drains were deep cleaned. We prepped all the veggies, all the things. We had a very busy morning. I don't know, I'm making numbers up, or like we did this or all the things. You do all the work. You just fail to document it. You need to document everything in the logbook. This got done. This got done. This got done. This got done. You already did it. Just take 5 minutes and document it. Why wouldn't you just brag about it for a minute? You already did the work, right? And then so when the next manager comes, you are going to communicate, hey, we made one batch of dough. 5 buckets of cheese were shredded. I restocked the line for you. We prepped all the veggies. We restocked all the ranch, 2 ounces. We made Texas ranch. The marinara were restocked. Also, we deep cleaned the trash cans and the drains. How would you feel? Like, oh, wow, they did so much. I'm already setting the tone for you that when I come in the morning, I'm expecting similar from you, for you to tell me what you did. Do you know what I'm saying? My point is here, if you did it, you need to communicate it. Put it in the logbook and verbally communicate what you did. So next time I may work with you and you worked in the morning. And when I come into the shift, I can ask you, hey, Susan, what was done this morning? And you're like, you know, it was a really busy morning. And we just made one batch of dough. Well, Susan, yesterday was super busy also, but I made sure I prepped veggies for you. We did the ranch. We deep cleaned this stuff, right? If I don't communicate, I can't expect that from you. Do you know what I'm saying? So you set the tone. You be the leader. Communicate what you did and all the stuff that we just talked about. The other one is that you may be working, you know, sometimes I hear people complain about other managers. Well, you know what? I communicate. I do the stuff. I put them in the logbook and I am great. But the person who's passing me the shift usually is the one who's this and that. And so I wanted to give you that you're authorized to ask questions, right? You can ask questions. Hey, Susan, what got done this morning? What prep was done? Oh, lunch was so busy. Oh, okay. Well, how much was sales? Oh, it was so busy. You know what? Let's pull up sales and see how much it was. Oh, wait, it was this, because you should know your sales and busy and or slow shifts must be defined. And each of our stores is different. So I'm not going into the numbers, but how much should we do for lunch? And you can look it up and actually see those numbers. What deep cleaning got done? You can ask those questions. Hey, Susan, what deep cleaning got done? Oh, we didn't get any deep cleaning done. Well, you know that each shift needs to do a deep cleaning task. In fact, today we're going to do our deep cleaning. So would you stay 10 more minutes and deep clean the trash cans? Because that was, according to the ops book, that is a task in the morning. So if you would please do that. Do you know what I'm saying? So if the other person is quick to want to leave and not communicate, you can very respectfully and courteously ask them to stay longer and get that task done. And you know what? Tomorrow, Susan, when you work, you need to make sure that deep cleaning task gets done during the shift. You can ask those questions because you have the moral authority. You can feel very comfortable because you are productive. You lead your shift. You are productive with the team and you get stuff done. And that's how you're able to ask those questions. The problem becomes we get to these things of this person lowers their standards over here, then you lower it, then this person lowers it, then this person lowers it. And we get to this level that we don't communicate among ourselves. We're not in a healthy competition for me to like, oh, wow, look at John. he did all this stuff and a deep cleaning and a prep, and he was super busy, man. And their load time was this. I better raise my standard. That needs to be our company culture, that we want to go and do even better than the next team member, instead of, oh, wow, you didn't do that, so I won't either. And then they was like, well, he sucks, I'm going to suck too. Don't be that. That's poor leadership. That is not going to help you thrive in life, in your marriage, anywhere. That's just poor leadership altogether. So this is a simple conversation about etiquette we need to have in place as a company, as a team, as a family, to honor one another, pass the shift, give of ourselves to one another, so the shift goes smooth, so the customers are well served, and the team has a smooth shift. If your team is stressed during a shift, it's because we as leaders and managers, we failed them. We didn't set them up for success. And we want to avoid those stressful shifts by, again, pre-planning, working on these little issues like passing the shift and these etiquettes, so we can thrive and serve the team better.